Parshas Lech Lecha, Tavshin Pei. We'll give a quick overview of the Parsha, go through a summary. A lot of events in this week's Parsha were introduced, well, we already introduced last week, were reintroduced to Avram Avinu, and the story is really all about Avram Avinu in this week's Parsha. Hashem tells him, commands him to leave his land and to go to the land that he's going to show him. He's going to make him into a great nation. So Avram leaves with Sarai at the time was her name, with Lot, and all the people that they converted, Sanefesh Asher Hasu B'Charan, and they go to Eretz Canaan, where he makes Mizbeach, and they get there, and all of a sudden there's a rav, there's a famine. So he has to go down to Mitzrayim. He gets to Mitzrayim, he's worried what's going to happen with Sarah and Mitzrayim, so he tells Sarah, tell everyone, tell Pirate my sister, so that he's not... They don't kill Avram Avinu. That's what happens. A machla, a plague comes, an ega, and Paro gets afflicted. So what happened? And then why'd you lie to me? They get kicked out of Mitzrayim, basically, but he sends them off with a lot of wealth, and Avram becomes very wealthy. Then they're back in Canaan. Avram and Lot separate from one another because they can't seem to live together, as the Pasuk says. And then Lot is taken captive. And there's the war of the four kings and the five kings. Avram rescues Lot. And then we have the very important Bris Bein Absarim, the covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about Hashem telling him that your nation will be exiled, and talks about being in Mitzrayim, but also that Eretz Yisrael is going to be ours and the Jewish people's, and it's going to be given to us as our eternal heritage. And Avram then, he doesn't have children. Sarai tells her, go ahead and get Hagar, have a maidservant. Hagar conceives, but then she's kicked out by Sarah, treats her harshly. And at the end of the Parsha, basically, we have Avraham Avinu, and he gets the commandment of Bris Milah for himself and his descendants as another Bris in the Parsha. Bris Milah, so the Bris Bein Absarim and the Bris Milah. And he in the Parsha concludes with his Bris Milah. So we're going to go through a lot of ideas tonight about Avram Avinu, this character that we've all, this person that we've all known since we were little and in grade school. And the Torah doesn't really tell us much about him. About his childhood, growing up. It doesn't tell us about his personality. It doesn't tell us anything, really. It just tells us Hashem told him to go. So we have to really think about, if this is Avram Avinu, who is the light onto the world, the Chozev Lublin says that Parshas Lech Lecha is really where the light came into the world, and that's when Avram Avinu was born, and throughout his life is what brought light to the world. What was so special about Avram Avinu? What was unique about him? And if there's something that's so special about him, which there clearly is, because he's the first of the Avos, then why doesn't the Torah tell us about it? So we know the stories that we grow up hearing, the Midrashim, the different things, the stories that happen with Avram Avinu. I want to look at the Midrashim a little bit. And maybe by understanding what the Midrashim say and what the Rambam says, we can glean a little bit of an answer as to why the Torah didn't tell us about Avram Avinu so much. So if we look in Bereishis Rabbah, in Lamed Ches, the Medrash here tells us the story about Avram Avinu and the idols, the famous story that we hear as a kid. But here it is inside in the Medrash. It's not just the story we hear as a kid, it's the actual Medrash. So, it's really on a pasuk, Vayamas Haran al Panei Terach Aviv, later in Bereishis Yid Aleph. So, Rebchia Barbrei Derav Ada de Yafo. So, there was a Tana Rebchia who said, Terach Ovid Slamim Haya. Terach was an Ovid Kochavim. He worshipped idols. Chadzman the fake Laasar. One time, he went off somewhere. Hoshiv Avram Ocher Tachtav, and he put Avram in charge of his store where he sold his idols. Hava Aseh Bar Inish by Diyizban. It's in Aramaic, so I'll try my best to translate. But and we have the translation in English below. One time, someone came into this store to go ahead and to buy an idol, presumably. Hava Amarle Bar Kama Shnitnat. So Avram was the seller of the idols and said, how old are you? The guy said, I'm either 50 or 60. It's a little weird. He didn't know how old he was, but I guess they didn't keep track back then. They had birth certificates. He didn't know when he was born exactly. I'm a 50 or 60 year old man. Lemiskar levar yome. So Avraham Avinu said to him, what was to the man who is 60 years old and he has to serve an idol that was created just yesterday? Meaning you've been around longer than the idol that was just built, that was created in the store and that we're selling and you're looking to buy one. So the guy went ahead. The guy was embarrassed and he left. What happens next? Another time, another instant. Chadzman also chad itasa tiina biyad bida chada pinach de solas. Another time, a woman came in and she was holding some sort of bowl of food in her hand. Amar le hey lach kariv kada mehon, and she said to him, "Take this and give it to the idols." Kam nasi bekul sabide. So what did Avraham Avinu do? He got up, he took a klasa, a buklasa, a hammer, and he went ahead, and what did he do? V'savrinun l'chalun p'silaya. He broke all the idols. Famous story here as a kid. Avraham Avinu gets up, he breaks all the idols. V'yav buklasa b'yida d'raba d'havi b'yineon. And he gives the hammer then, I guess he didn't break the biggest one, or it was a little broken maybe, but he gives it to the biggest idol, and he leaves it resting in the biggest idol's hand. Kivan da'asavu amar le ma'aver l'hon k'dein. So later on, when his father comes, he said, "Who did this to them? How'd they all break? What happened to my idols?" Terach says to Avram. Amar le, Avram says to him, "Ma nichbor minach asos chada itasatina lachada pinach desolus." Amar asli, "Hey lach kariv kadamehon, karivt lakadamehon hava dein amar ana echel kadamai v'dein amar ana echel kadamai kam hadein rabba the hava minehon nasav buklasa." The Sabrina says, he tells the beginning is actually what happened, right? A woman came in and brought them some food for the idols, and she told me to offer it to them. I offered it to them, and one said, "I'm going to eat first." Another one said, no, "I'm going to eat first." So the biggest idol got up and took a hammer and smashed them. So Avraham says, the largest idol broke all the other idols. And then Terach says back to Avraham, "Amar le ma'ata maflebi v'yadinan inun." He says, "What are you telling me? What is this nonsense? This baba maisa you're telling me? These idols don't have any understanding. They don't have yadinun. They don't have knowledge." Amar le, so Avraham Avinu said back, "Liyishnu as nacha mashapicha imer." Avraham Avinu said back to Terach, "Do your ears not hear what your mouth is saying? You're telling me that these idols don't have understanding, yet you go ahead and worship these idols?" And that was the message Avraham Avinu was giving to Terach. So one Medrash, it doesn't really tell us so much about how Avraham Avinu came to not believing in idols, but it seems from the Medrash, right, Pashut is, it's just Avraham Avinu was just using pure logic. It doesn't make sense to worship an idol. The 60-year-old man comes in, he says, "This idol was created yesterday," and the guy was embarrassed. He said, "How could it be? And they don't do anything." And that was Avraham's point. They can't walk, they can't talk, they can't eat, they can't. So how could this be God? So it seems to be, based on this medrash, Avraham Avinu was just, you know, using pashtus, using his brain, figure it out in a very simple way. It doesn't make sense. It's illogical that an idol is God. If you look in the next medrash, it's really right after. So it tells us another story about Avraham Avinu. It says, "Nasve Masari Lenimrod." So Terach took Avraham and gave him over to Nimrod. Amar le niskor lenura. So Nimrod said to him, "Let us go and let's worship the fire." Amar le Avram v'niskor lamaya demat v'nura. He says, "Why should we not then worship water, which extinguishes fire? Water is more powerful; it could put fire out." Amar le Nimrod niskor lamaya. Said, "Fine." Nimrod said, "Fine. You're right. Let's go ahead and worship the water." Amar le im ke niskor lanana the time maya. So Avram said, "Should we not then worship the clouds which carry the water?" Amar le niskur lanana. Nimrod responded to Avram Avinu, "You're right. Let's go worship the clouds." Nimrod's probably getting a little annoyed right now, but he's still conceding and giving in. And Avram Avinu goes ahead and says, "Amar le niskur larucha." Then we should go ahead. Oh, Amar le im ke niskur larucha lamavad. Lemivadar anana. Avinu says, "If that's true, fine, you're right. But you know what's even stronger than the greater than the clouds is the wind." because the wind scatters the clouds, it can move it around. Nimrod again says, fine, let's go worship the, you're right, keeps moving on to something else, let's go worship the wind. He says, no, maybe we should worship man. A person can withstand the wind. So a person's even stronger than wind. The wind doesn't knock a person over. So Nimrod got really upset. Finally, he hit his breaking point. And he said to him, he responded and said, you're taking my words and playing with them. We should do what I said in the beginning. We should go ahead and bow down to the fire. We should worship the fire. That's how he started. And he said, I'm going to bow down to the fire. And I'm going to throw you into the fire. And you think that there's this God that you keep telling me, my gods aren't gods. It's not the fire, it's not the water, it's not the clouds, it's not the wind, it's not a person. You have a different God? Who's your? Yeah, let's see if your God comes and saves you. So what happens? And Haran is there, and he goes ahead and says, what am I going to do? What do I do? He says, I'll follow Avram Avinu. If Avram Avinu is right, then I'll follow Nimrod if Nimrod is right. Avram then was, since after he was thrown into the fire and he was saved, he was miraculously saved, the Medrash says. Amrina and Lay Demanat Amar Lo Lahon Min Avramanan. They said to Haran, who are you following? Me or Nimrod or Avram? And he said, I'm going to follow Avram. Netlav Yishlich Lo'or V'nechemer B'nei Me'ev. They threw Haran into the fire, and he was killed, and he burnt up. So even though the Medrash here, Avram Avinu again, what's the point that he's driving at in this Medrash? Avram Avinu, his conversation with Nimrod, more focused on than, which is not as famous as being thrown into the fire, but the conversation, the back and forth that goes on, is Avram Avinu is just using logic. He's saying it doesn't make sense. You're gonna worship fire? Fire is God? But fire? Whoa. There's something stronger than fire. And the water, there's something stronger than water. And he's using logic. So that's the second Medrash. Again, just Pashut logic. It's our brain. Maybe back then, obviously, it wasn't so Pashut because everyone was idol worshippers. So it has to be, it was a little, they didn't have the clarity we have. There was some Yetzirah or some Taiva or some different understanding, or there was not yet the recognition of the Ribbono Shel Olam of a God in the world that's not tangible, that you can't feel, you can't touch. So it was a novel idea. It wasn't easy to think about, but Avraham Avinu, through logic, was able to figure it out. And if you look in the Rambam, and actually before we get to the Rambam, so Rav Biederman here actually, in source number 4, just a very nice idea, he quotes in the Satmar Rebbe, he says, we know the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, as I said in the beginning of this year, really connects from this, is from this Gemara, it teaches the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Tes, that the world's going to exist for 6,000 years. The first 2,000 years are called Tohu, there's a void because there was no Torah in the world. The next 2,000 years are called the years of Torah, and the final 2,000 years is the era of Mashiach, because Mashiach will come in 2,000 years. So the last 2,000 years are like all the ikvas of the Mashiach. You know, it's coming in a long time, but it's the time of Mashiach. So we know that Avram Avinu was born in what year on the Hebrew calendar? 1948. Right? It's the only people know this. 1948. He was born in the year 1948 on the Hebrew calendar. So the first 2,000 years, really Avram was how old then? 52. So says Rabbi Biederman, asking the question, the Satmar Rebbe, why don't the 2,000 years begin from when Avram recognized Hashem, which was by the age, according to the Medrash, and the Rambam quotes it, of 40, or possibly 3, possibly 48. So the Satmar Rebbe explains beautifully.
What says 48? Somebody says 48?
I think it's a Medrash also. Oh, okay. I think so. He answered that when this incident with Nimrod being thrown into Kivshan Ha'ish happened when Avram was 52. So Machlok is what happened at 52. Something happened though when Avram was 52 years old, that's what began this 2,000 years of Torah. Avram was 52 when this Nisayan happened. And what was this Nisayan when, according to the Medrash, that Nimrod threw him into the fiery furnace in Ur Kasdim because he refused to worship the fire and the clouds and the water? That's when the Torah, when his Emunah became... It happened through Mesiras Nefesh. That's when it happened for the first time, where he had to stand up to the test to prove that he doesn't just like think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and go preaching about him, but he actually is mamish willing to be Moser Nefesh for the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that started the 2,000 years of Torah. A beautiful idea by the Satmar Rebbe. Meaning that in Avodas Hashem, when it's easy, when things are good, and it's, you're not challenged, there's no Mesiras Nefesh involved in your mitzvos and your emunah. So it's of course it's we still need to do it and it's good, but that's not the litmus test. The litmus test of what brought these years, 2,000 years of light of Torah into the world, was Avraham Avinu's test in emunah with Mesiras Nefesh of being thrown in the Kirshan Ha'esh with Nimrod. It's a nice idea from the Satmar Rebbe. So those are the ideas from the Medrash. Avraham Avinu, we were trying to figure out why doesn't the Torah tell us a background about Avraham Avinu? By Noach describes this as tzaddik tomim. It tells us he's a tzaddik. He was a good person. Somebody like there's a description. We don't know much. It just says. Just tells him what to do. Just gives him a command. What was unique about Avram, and how did he come to his emunah b'Hashem, and why doesn't the Torah tell us that? So the Medrash gives us one approach. It's really, you can call it like the Avram Avinu who went against his times, who went ahead and just used simple logic, nothing too sophisticated, too complicated, it just doesn't make sense. And there has to be something more than the idols that they're worshipping. If you look in the Rambam, though, it seems the Rambam has a very different approach. The Rambam, on page 3, in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, it's very long. But he goes through the history of Avodah Zarah, and he goes through how he's starting Terach, and he goes then talks about Avraham Avinu, and gives a very long description of Avraham Avinu. And he says that after Avraham Avinu, you know, was weaned, which means he was very young, he started to begin to explore and think. I'm just going to read in the English because it's very long in the Hebrew. And he was a child, but he began to think throughout Yoyimam Valayla, he would start wondering. Avraham Avinu was bothered. He couldn't sleep as a kid. How is it possible for the sphere to continue to revolve without having anyone control the world? Who's causing it to revolve? Surely it's not happening by itself. It can't be an idol that's causing the whole sphere to the hemisphere to revolve. He didn't have a teacher. No one was around to teach him. Everybody was an idolater. And his heart, though, Avram's libo, right? He says the beautiful lashon, libo mishotet umevin achehesig derecha emes vehevin kava tzedek misbunasa anechumna. His heart was exploring and gaining understanding, and ultimately he appreciated the way of emes and understood the path of righteousness through his accurate comprehension. He realized that there's only one HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's controlling the world. He realized that he created everything and that there's nothing else among all the other entities. And the Rambam is basically telling us that Avraham Avinu came to Emunah, came to believing in God, not through just like a simple idea of, okay, I can't be an idol because an idol is something that doesn't move or talk, and it can't be fire, it can't be water, it can't be wind, but he was a philosopher. He used philosophy, is how many understand the Rambam. Avraham Avinu was the first philosopher in our history, and through philosophy, through deep thinking, not just, okay, it's pashut, it's logical, but by thinking yomam v'layla about it, as the Rambam says, by not sleeping at night, and how is this possible? How is that possible? How's the world? How did the grass get here? How did it all happen?
So he was the first one that had brains.
He's the first one, right? But had a real brain, a real Yiddish cup. The first one with the Yiddish cup. So that's Avraham Avinu, according to the Rambam. And he was the philosopher. And if you look here, actually, so the Rambam actually uses a number of years. He says in the beginning, he says, "Uben arba mishana hikir Avram es baro," that he was 40 when he recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look in the Asagas HaRavid, the Ravid says, "Uben arba mishana hikir Avram es baro." Amar Ram Yesh Agada ben Shalosh Shanim. So the Ravid says that there's a medrash that he was 3. So what's pshat? So now we have the midrashim, which kind of just to use pure simple logic, let's call it, and the Rambam who uses more of a deeper thinking and philosophy kind of approach to finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why is it mentioned in the Torah?
Where does he get these numbers from?
The medrash.
It's just 3, right?
They're all Midrashim. The Medrash.
Where did they come up with the figures?
It's a good question. I
40, you're just throwing numbers around.
I don't think they're throwing numbers around.
I'm also guessing that 3 was not such a deep thought. Oh. Maybe 40 was.
So here we go. So I think we can answer the question we started with, right? Why doesn't the Torah tell us the path that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead that Avram found Hashem? Because different people discover the Ribbono Shel Olam and connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in different ways. Some people, Emunah Pshuta is the right way for them to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some people, they're much more logical and rational thinkers, and they need to have proofs and rayas and raya brus that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, and they need to go through all the philosophy books and understand all the other religions to prove why they're wrong in order to understand the Ribbono Shel Olam's correct, and that Torah is MS and Judaism is the right religion. So the Torah didn't give us a way that Avraham Avinu found HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically, because if there was, then we might have a Shulchan Aruch and how you have to like find and discover Hashem. But there's many drachim to find the Ribono Shel Olam, as you see from the Medrash and from the Rambam. And to answer your question, just like Aaron said, I think that's exactly right. These different Midrashim, you could say they're not machlokes. They're all working together. When he was three, he had a very simple little Avmuna, right? If I ask my three-year-old son, I have a three-year-old son, I ask Noam, do you believe in Hashem? Yes, Abba. Noam, know what that means? What is he saying? Does he understand what he's saying when I believe in Hashem? On his level, he does, for a three-year-old. For a three-year-old's understanding, great. But when Avram was 40 and 48, it was a deeper level. I could say the Rambam is building on top of the Midrashim in a certain way also. It started with Emuna Pshuta. It doesn't make sense. It's not like you can't have an idol be the God. And then it became a much deeper type of philosophical understanding of the Ribono Shel Olam. And the Torah doesn't prescribe it to us because it doesn't want to make us confined to a certain way into finding the Ribono Shel Olam.
What age did he speak to the Lord?
What age did he speak to the Lord?
I think 70 or 75.
Right, I think the Lord spoke to him.
Past 40.
I think Hashem spoke to him first.
At what age?
I think he was 75. Lacha was 75.
Could be there was a brisket on
the first time that the Lord spoke to Avraham.
Yeah, in the Pashup Shai, it seems 75, I think. Yeah.
No, the brisket on the Sarah may have been earlier.
It might have been, right. But if you look in Lech Lecha, he was 75 at the time of the command to the Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. So this is the idea. This is the idea. Okay, so now we did a little background on Avraham Avinu. Let's dive into some of the ideas we find in Pesachim. So if you look on the first page, right? Hashem tells Avraham to leave his land, the place he was, his birthplace, his father's house, the land that he will show him. And the question is very obvious. Many of them, Farshim, ask, why does the Torah have to specify to leave your land, your birthplace, and your father's house? Just leave. Just go.
Pick up and go.
What's the Torah emphasizing by saying all three different expressions of leaving? Says the Ramban in source number 7. So the Ramban says, Ki yikshe al adam lazov arzo, ki yikashe al adam lazov arzo asher hu yoshev ba. It's very hard for a person to leave where they're living, right? When someone moves, it's one of the most stressful times in life. It's not easy to move. Anyone, to leave where they're living, they're used to it, they're comfortable, they have their house, they know the place, they know where the stores are. It's not easy to leave. Visham, Oava, Vireyav, and there, well, if he's not, then you're right, then it's easier
it's
to leave.
Easy.
He doesn't have to be told to leave.
He just leave on his own.
Right. But in that place, right, he has the people, his friends, his community, his people that love him. He's been there for a while. All the more so it's even harder. A guy grows up in West Hempstead. Who lives in West Hempstead? Who then has to leave West Hempstead? He's not just living there, but he grew up there. He knows all the old timers. He knows what used to be here before Hunkies. Was there anything before Hunkies? Who knows? The guys who grew up here who are now, 50, 60 years later are still here. They know. They know the beginnings. They know the origins. The kosher came kishiyesh sham kol beis oviv. And especially if you have a West Hempstead family that what? The whole family's here, the mishpacha. Yeah. The parents are here, and the brothers and the sisters, everyone's there. So the Torah is emphasizing Avram had to leave it all. He had to leave the community that he was used to and comfortable with. He had to leave the people he grew up with, and he had to leave the hardest. There's really levels of difficulty. He had to also leave his parents. He had to leave his family, which is the hardest to do, is to go on your own. You don't have parents, you don't have siblings. You go with your wife, but that's it. You're leaving everything behind. So that's what the Ramban says. If you look in the source number 8, the Tosefes Bracha has a beautiful idea. And this is a great vart, by the way.
Who's the Tosefes Bracha?
Tosefes Bracha is Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein. He's the son, he's the same author, Torah Tumimah is more famous of his writings on Chumash. He wrote the Torah Tumimah. His father,
What year?
He lived 1860 to 1941. And his father is, he wrote the Aruch HaShulchan. So if you look at the Tosefes Bracha, this is a great vart to say, and I heard this from B'Shem Rabbi Rasner. A lot of these ideas throughout the year weeks are going to be Rabbi Rasner, so he's gets a lot of credit for these, some and different Rabbanim. But the Tosefes Bracha quotes as follows, and it's a great idea to say. You could say it at a Shav Brachos, you could say it at an Ufuf, you could say it at a Chasana, if you want to say something to someone in the family, somebody getting married. Great, I could say it at a bris. So he asked the same question. Why does it have to say, it should just say, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha? So achabirhu mipnei kimidos ha'adam bechlal mishtarishos ba'ayde shalosh sivos. It says that a person is developed through three different ways, three different causes that develop a person. Sometimes it's through the environment that a person grows up in that influences the kind of character that the person is going, that the type of person he'll become one day, whether he'll be a good person or a bad person, right? Person, the Rambam says in Hilchos Deos, a person's a product of their environment. If you skip down to the other parts, sometimes it's the people that he grew up with, not just the community, but his family that goes ahead and has a hashpa on him. His cousins, siblings, they have a big influence on him. But in the end, what is the biggest impact? Is the household that you grew up in, your parents. The influence your parents have on you. What kind of role models they were for you. So Avraham Avinu, what the Torah is emphasizing here is Avraham Avinu is teaching us a lesson for all time. And that is that there's many factors that influence and develop and turn us into the people that we become. The people around us, the community, the friends, the svivo that we have, to make sure to go ahead and put ourselves in around good people. The people that are our family, cousins, not our parents per se, but like the ones that are around us that influence us as well, brothers, sisters, and then ultimately our parents. And as parents, you know, we also have to keep that in mind as well. On the flip side, that we are mamish forming the future of a child when we raise them. And that's why the Torah says all three of them, to teach us that lesson, that that's what Avraham Avinu was leaving from. Okay. There's a Gemara in Source 9 I want to talk about. Gemara in Brachos Dav Zayin tells us as follows. Amar Rav Yochan, Amishim Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Miyom Shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Esa Olam Lohai Adam Shekara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon Ad Sheba Avraham Vekara Adon Shenema Vayomar Adonai Elohim Bameh Eda Ki Yira Shana. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, Rabbi Yochanan, the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, that from the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, no man called Hashem Adon until Avraham Avinu came and called him Adon. Avraham Avinu was the first person to call Hashem Master, Adon. So what's the significance of Adon? What's so important about Adon? And if you look in source number 10, this Rashi, I also have a question on this Rashi. So Rashi says, V'yei bracha, right? This is the first pasuk, in the first, second pasuk, in the V'eschol goy gadol v'arecha v'agal shmecha v'yei bracha, the second pasuk in the parasha. What does Rashi say? So he quotes two different ideas. He says, "Brachos and sinners biyad chach achshav hayu biyad biyadai beirachti as Adam ves Noach veoscho meachshav ata tverach sasher tachvos." He says, "You have the power to now, you know, bless other things to give brachos." Davar acher though, Rashi says, "Veschol agoy gadol." What is veschol agoy gadol? In the pasuk says, "Shomer elokei Avram." That's what we say in Shmona Esther every day. Elokei Avram. Va'averech chazeu shomer elokei Yitzchak. You might have thought you should end the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, Magen Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, or Avram Yitzchak Elokei, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Tamuloymar v'yei bracha b'cha chosmin v'lo bahem. Says Rashi, what is v'yei bracha? You're going to be the concluding bracha in the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei. It's going to be you, Avram Avinu, Magen Avram. That's how we end the bracha. Why is the chosim with Avram Avinu? Those are the two questions I want to ask. First of all, on the Gemara, what is it? What's so important that Avram called Hashem Adon first? And second of all, what does it mean exactly to be the chosim of the Shmones of the first bracha to be Magin Avram alone?
It's a good thing.
Yeah, great thing.
When did Hashem say this to Avram? After he said, "If you leave your house, then if you do that, is that how it works?"
I mean, it's on Ve'yei Bracha that Hashem's telling him.
Ve'yei Bracha.
Yeah.
So I understand. I have a sorry question.
Yeah.
This is one of the tests, right?
Yeah.
What kind of test?
It's a great question. All, first, I'm asking.
First, I'm asking like a novice.
Yeah.
Number one, what is the? This isn't a test. If someone tells you today,
if I tell you Marshall, leave your family,
you go to Florida, you get $1 billion.
So it's an excellent question. I think it's still very difficult to leave everything behind. No, and don't think it was so easy.
It's gaining over there.
You're told you're going to gain, but you have to have a pure emunah. 100% emuna to leave everything and gain over there. So if you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 100% you're right. If a person's not sure if that, you know, what their Hashem tells them to do something, they're not sure if that, you know, money's really in Florida, then they might not go.
It's a gamble.
It's not a exactly, unless you have pure emuna like Aravino. That's why it was a test. Emuna, one of my friends always says, he tells his Tamidim, that emuna can go ahead, it's like a barometer. You know, imagine 0 to 100. Sometimes in life, you know, you'd bet $70 that, you know, that on HaKadosh Baruch Hu existing. That's okay. You have some emuna, but it's not complete. Up to $100. $100, I give up all my money in the world. I'd bet it with you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And sometimes no emuna would be, you know, I'm not willing to give up anything. So it's like different levels of emuna. Same idea we said before. It's like it grows over time. But those are the two questions I want to focus on. What's Adon and why is it so important to be Chaysim? So I heard an idea from, quoted from Rav Shimon Shka. Becha chosmin velo bahem. By you, Avram, and not them, it's going to end. What does that mean? Pshat is, the world, at the time of Mashiach, when the world, the Mashiach's coming soon, is going to be Becha Chosman. It's going to close into Mashiach with you, Avram Avinu. What's Pshat? Avram Avinu was about Tshuva. He grew up in the house of Terach. His father was an idol worshiper. Avram Avinu was not Yitzchak. He wasn't Yaakov. Becha Chosman, not Yitzchak, who was a pure person who grew up in the house of Avram Avinu, not Yaakov, who was a Mita Shlema. Avram Avinu, who was a Baal Tshuva, basically. Becha, Mashiach's going to come with your kinds of people, Avram. Well, that's why I'm Shafer and Rishon Shkov. The Bali Tshuva. They're going to be the ones that are going to bring Mashiach. They're going to be... Exactly. So if you look in source number 11, Rav Schwab, in the main base of Shoeva, he discusses this Gemara, and Becha Chosmin, Vein Chosmin Kulan, and also talks about Adam. He says as follows, Avodas HaAdam Yisrael, in the second paragraph, Tiparid lebeiz Rashim. The avodas Hashem of a person can be split into two different kinds. Aleph mesoris avodas Hashem yado. First, the mesora that's passed down into your hands. Beiz avodas atzma. Beiz your own personal avoda. V'hainu shemitzad echad anu makirim she'in anu tchilas hakedusha. On the one hand, we recognize I'm not the beginning of the kedusha. I come from a long shalshelas hamesora, from my alta zedi all the way up to Avram Avinu. If we didn't have this Mesura from a father to a son, from a teacher, a rabbi to a Talmud, we wouldn't know anything about Hashem. We need the Mesura. But on the other hand, I myself, I have my own Yetzer that's specific and unique to me, which I need to be Misgaber each and every day. Benisyonos chadashim, with new tests every single day. Uvetachbulos shonos, and with different tricks, different things that I need to figure out for myself. Vitzarech adam lazar kegibor chalatzav liilachim vayetzahara shalo kilu ba'atmo hischilas hakadosh. And a person needs to go ahead and attack the yetzahara, his own unique yetzahara that's special to him, and not a mesera from his father and great tata and zede. And he needs to fight that with his own kochos, with his own strength. V'alze amar tana ba'agadah shel Pesach, his beautiful pshat in the Haggadah on Pesach, mitchilo ovdei avodah zarah hayah, v'asein v'achshir kervanah amalkam la'avodah so. In the beginning, our forefathers, our fathers, you know, they were ovdei avodah zarah, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us to serve him. V'shoch l'char kasha, it's a kasha. Hari kar nisgarvnu la'avodah slav ne'yosim mishlosh alofim v'shalosh me'o shana. Hashem brought us close to him 3,300 years ago. Achshav? He brought us to serve him. What does that mean? What's the Baal Gadah saying? Should have said that our Terach was an Oved Avodah Zarah, and afterwards we became servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We went to serve Hashem. The pshat is that now each and every day HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us and helps us go ahead and be sholeit on the Yetzahara. And it's talking to us individually. The second aspect, the what he calls avodas atzma. So he concludes at the end. Just for time, I'll skip to the end. He says that Avram Avinu was Avram ha'ivri shekolam kulo me'ever echad v'hu me'ever echad. He was on one side of the river, and everyone else is on the other side. So he says al kabbalas avodas Hashem be'ofen prati shekol yachid v'yachid v'zeu b'chach chosmin. this idea of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Yachid, that's what Bechach Chosman is. Sheyesh inyan miyuchad ba'avodas kol echa miyisrael b'chinas Avraham Avinu b'chinu hu hamascha b'akdusha. That each and every one of us has this element as part of us that we're miyuchad in our avoda ta'kadosh baruch hu, just like Avraham Avinu started this entire shalshelas of kedusha. And if you look in his sefer on tefillah as well, he says, what does it mean, Adon? That an Adon has a personal relationship with his servant. Whenever the servant performs his duties, he is directly serving his master. Avraham Avinu was the first person. What does it mean to call Hashem Adon? He was the first person to go ahead and have a personal relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. He didn't just see God as, okay, I believe in God, God exists. No, but God is involved in my life. I have a relationship with God individually. I have a pratiistic relationship, a personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Adon means. That's what Adonai means. My God, my master. And that's what we say in every bracha. We use the lashon of Adon and Melech. Melech is looking at HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a king who is, you know, is Melech Malchei Olam. He's something that's so unfathomable for us, so hard for us to understand. But Adonai, Adon, my personal master, is what Avraham Avinu taught the world. So it taught us that, no, as lofty and incredible as the Ribbono Shel Olam is, and as Melech Malchei Amlochim, still, I have that unique, special relationship with him, that he's my Adam. He's my personal master. Yeah. If you look in source 13, and we're running out of time, so we'll go through source 13, and I think we'll see if we have time to do something else. But source 13, to me, I heard this a long time ago. This was this part from, I think, Reb Benovitz, when I was in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, Reshit. And it's an amazing idea. Pasuk says in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud, right? We mentioned the beginning of the summary of the Parsha. Avinu was told to go to Canaan. What happens? He gets to Canaan. He goes. He listens. He's given all these promises. Like you said, oh, it's not a test. He's given. Oh, he's going to get wealth. He's going to get. He's going to be a bracha. What happens in Canaan when he gets there? Pasuk says, Vayira Baretz. Immediately there's a rav. There's a famine in the land.
That's the test.
Vayevid Avram Mitzrayim Lagur Shom Ki Chavid HaRav Baretz. So what does Avram do? Huh? What do you mean?
Hashem promised him. So he picked up and he's thinking he was getting something.
Good.
And he gets it and he gets nothing.
Good.
And
look at Rashi.
That's the test.
Exactly. Look at Rashi. Awesome. So Rashi says, Rav Baretz, Ba'osa Eres Levada. There was no famine in any other neighboring lands. Just in Canaan there was a Rav. L'nasosu yahaher achar dvarv shal kadosh baruch hu she'amar lo laleches al Eretz Canaan. To test him to see, will he go ahead and listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go to Eretz Canaan, and that he'd go there? V'achshav masil latzeis mimena. Now he's telling him, basically, you need to leave. You know, you can't live there. There's no food. So what's the nisayon? Rashi has an amazing concept that we all need to take. And what's the really lesson? The real lesson is, and we know Maisa Avo Simon Labanim, Avraham Avinu had 10 tests. So the Mari Naim says that each and every one of us have 10 tests in our own lives. We each have 10 big tests. We have many more than 10, but 10 huge tests as a yachid, each and every one of us. And we have the koyach to overcome them like Avraham Avinu. What was the test when he got to Canaan? The test was, is Avraham Avinu going to question now? Is he going to say, Ribono Shel Olam, you told me to go to Eretz Canaan. I left my family. I left my hometown. I left my father. I traveled here. I'm here. I brought everyone with me. Now what? There's a famine? Really? That's what this was for. You told me ve'yei bracha. You told me about God, the Shemecha. All these wonderful things. I followed what you told me. I did everything you said. And now you cause a rav? Now you cause a famine? Avraham Avinu didn't question. He went down to Mitzrayim. He followed what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. He accepted exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. And I think it's, to conclude, a lesson for all of us. And that is that in life, even when we're doing the right things, sometimes we can think, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm following your Torah, I'm doing your mitzvahs, I'm going to shacharis every day, I'm davening every day, I have work on my kavanah, I'm brachos, I'm trying to be a good father, I'm trying to make a living, I'm trying to go ahead and do great things, just, and now you give me this nisayon in life, and you're going to ask the Ribono Shel Olam, now you're going to throw this at me? That's Avraham Avinu didn't ask. He didn't say, you put a famine in the land, he didn't ask. He went straight down to Mitzrayim. All the time he was in Mitzrayim, and then he came back, and there was no famine anymore.
So where did he come back from?
Because he was kicked out of Mitzrayim.
Oh, he had to leave Not because of himself.
Well, he was the kicked him out. Yeah, exactly. But I think it's an amazing lesson for us that we learned from our Avinu. And I think it's true for each and every one of us that even when we're Ovdei Hashem in the proper way and things don't work out the way we would expect, we don't get the brachos that we think we are deserving over, the tefillos aren't being answered properly, to still go ahead and not question the Ribono Shalom, to accept it quietly and without saying anything to him, and to go ahead and be mekabel it, be Ava, as Avraham Avinu did. Shkoyach, thank you all for coming. And have a great Shabbos.